I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 and verse number 6 is where we're going to pick up. While you're finding that, I'm going to give you a little catch-up of where we were in our last lesson. The fourth cycle of sin against the Lord has started, the sin of worshiping Canaanite idols. And the Lord has allowed the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east to come in to oppress, and they have oppressed the nation of Israel for 7 years by plundering their grains, their livestock, their herds, taking them and leaving nothing for the Israelites. As a result, for 7 years, the Israelites would go and run to the dens and to the caves and to the strongholds to try to store and protect their family, their livestock, their crops, their grains from the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the sons of the east. And we've talked about who all those people are in the last lesson. As we pick up here in verse number 6 of chapter 6, we're at the end of the 7 years, and we are here to hear about when Israel cried and when the hopes had plundered. When Israel cried and when the hopes were plundered. Or we can put it this way, when the hopes plummeted, that's when they cried. Verse number 6. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. And as I said in our last time together at this verse, Israel finally did what they needed to do. All they had to do for 7 years, when their hopes were plummeting because of they had no food, their livestock was being stolen, their herds were being stolen, all they needed to do was to cry out to the Lord. I'm going to make an important point right here. By the way, right here today, right where we are right now, it is all you need to do when hopes seem gone. All you have to do is to cry to the Lord, and I promise you, He will hear. Well, this brings us to the prophet of Israel. What did the Lord do? He sent a prophet of Israel in verse number 7. Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them. Now before we go on, I want to say this to you. If you will remember, when the people of cycle 3 cried out to the Lord, the Lord sent not a judge to begin with, but a prophetess. Now, this time in cycle 4, He doesn't send a prophetess, a woman. He sends a man, a prophet. He had a word for Israel. Just as Deborah had a word for Israel in cycle 3, the new prophet has a word for Israel in cycle 4. So we come to the Lord's message, the Lord's word for Israel, next in verse number 8 of chapter 6. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. It was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors, and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. The Lord heard the cry of the people. But He was not just going to jump in and help without having a message of training to these sinful Israelites. He wanted to remind the Israelites of what they had done for Israel. He was the one who rescued them and helped Israel remove the Canaanites and the Amorites from the land. That's what He had done for Israel. Not only that, He had stopped helping Israel when Israel stopped pursuing the Canaanites as was ordered by Him. Therefore, the Lord has a reason for this message. So we now come to the Lord's reason for His message in verse number 10. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. What was the reason for this message? It was to remind Israel that she had disobeyed the Lord by breaking the covenant and the commandments by worshiping the gods of the Amorites. The fourth cycle is the same as the first three cycles. Nothing is new. Sin, oppression, freedom. Sin, oppression, freedom. But the Lord does have a prophet for Israel in this time. He's got someone to bring freedom and to judge them, and it's a prophet. We will meet him next. In the fourth cycle of Israel's sin against the Lord, the nation cried to the Lord, and he had a prophet in place to become a judge. Enter Gideon, Israel's judge for 40 years. In introducing Gideon, the writer begins with Gideon's commencement as he is chosen to be judge. In verse number 11, then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah. Now throughout the Old Testament, and in the Gospels, before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord appeared to man at various times. And when the Lord appeared in those times where a man could see Him, the Lord, in visible form, He manifested Himself in a special form of a man who could appear and disappear, who could eat, drink, speak, and perform all kinds of miraculous things that only God can do. He was Jehovah. He was Jesus before He came to this earth as a babe. Here we see the Lord sitting underneath this oak tree at a place called Ophrah. And it is a town that is located in the tribal area of Manasseh. It sat about 6 miles southwest of Shechem. It was Gideon's home as a child. He will remain there all his life, and he will be buried there when he dies. Judges chapter 9 and chapter 8. It is 4 miles northeast of Bethel. Joash, the Abiezrite, was the father of Gideon. Abzer was a distant descendant of Manasseh. Abzer's descendants were called Abzerites. Gideon was of the tribe of Manasseh, and Gideon was an Abzerite because he was of a sub-tribe of Manasseh. Why was Gideon, asked this question, why was Gideon beating out wheat in the wine presses in order to save it from the Midianites? Well, first, this verse tells us the time of the year that the Midianites were on their way to oppress Israel. Wheat harvest occurs in late April, May, and early June in Israel. Therefore, Israel was expecting the Midianites in mid to late spring. The harvest of grapes, they can begin harvesting in June, but more than likely the harvest would begin in July and it continues through August, in July and August, and on into September as these grapevines produce. Therefore, at the time of the wheat harvest, get this, the wine presses would be empty because there's no grapes to crush in a wine press. So evidently, Gideon felt confident enough that if he would take the wheat that belonged to him and his family and beat it out at the wine press, he could hide it there at the wine press, and the Midianites might not get the wheat out of the wine press. Why? Because it wasn't time for wine to be in the wine press for them to rob Israel of their wine yet. Well, going on. The oak tree where the angel of the Lord sat was near enough to this wine press that the angel of the Lord could call out to Gideon as he worked. And sitting under that tree, we come to the appearance to Gideon by the angel of the Lord in verse number 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." The King James Version renders those last words as, "The Lord is with thee, though a mighty man of valor." Moffat's version says, "You stalwart hero, the Eternal is with you." Knox's version says, "The Lord be with you, courageous heart." We do not know the background of Gideon. Whether or not he had already proved himself as a warrior, whether he had proved himself as a man of valor, or whether he was a hero. In fact, the matter, it does not matter if he was a warrior, a man of valor, or a hero. Gideon may have not known that he was a hero of the people, but the Lord did. Gideon will not disappoint the Lord. But at this meeting with the Lord, there at the wine press and at the oak tree, he will question the Lord who has appeared to him in the shade of that oak tree. So we've just heard of the appearance of the Lord to Gideon, and now we hear the question of Gideon to the Lord, verse number 13. Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian." Gideon clearly understood this special relationship between the Lord and Israel that went back all the way to Egypt. He had heard about it from his fathers in Israel's past. And in response to the Lord's announcement, Gideon's response also shows his total dejection in the current circumstances in his nation of Israel. It also shows his bitterness for the 7 years of suffering. We might say Gideon's words were like this: "If the Lord is with us, where is he?" Well, we know how that feels. All of us have felt that way at some times. But we do know exactly where the Lord was because the text has told us. He was exactly where he said he would be if Israel worshiped Canaanite gods. The Lord was waiting on Israel to act. Israel called to him. What did the Lord do? He acted. He called to Gideon. He looked past Gideon's discouragement to Gideon's future for the nation of Israel as the Lord's prophet. Looking past Gideon's question, we come to the charge of Gideon by the Lord. The charge of Gideon by the Lord. Verse number 14. The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" He said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. In the charge to Gideon, the Lord confirms that he had called Gideon for this purpose at this time. But Gideon was unsure of himself. How could he be the hero of Israel? Gideon says, "My family." The Hebrew word, when he says "my family," the Hebrew is actually better translated "my thousands." Gideon was not talking about his family with his brothers and his fathers, or his father. In these words, he was talking about the group of the 1,000 men he belonged to in the tribe of Manasseh. Now understand this. A division of Israel, of an Israelite tribe, consisted of what is called a 1,000. That word 1,000 is also translated as a clan. In other words, he's saying my family, which is my 1,000, which is my clan. A clan, it consisted of the household of several fathers and the number of individuals who lived in that father's household, be them sons, be them grandsons and great-grandsons, that all lived there, and it was 1,000 to be a clan. We see that also over in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 19 through 21. We hear about that there. Gideon says he is part of the weakest clan of the whole tribe of Manasseh. Furthermore, Gideon was the youngest male in his father's house. The word "father's house" is a reference that is always a reference to their own family. It's Gideon's own family. And he was the youngest son in his father's house. He was the youngest son of his father, Joash. The writer now tells us of the request of Gideon in verse 17. So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you." And he said, "I will remain until you return." Look at that verse 18 again. I want you to see this. He said there, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show that it is you who speak with me." What is Gideon asking here? He is asking the Lord to prove that he is indeed the Lord. Gideon seems not to be sure that it is the Lord who has given him the promise of victory against the Midianites. Gideon asks the Lord to stay where he is under that oak tree until he returns with an offering. And as we will see, it is not an offering in accord with the offerings found in the first chapters of Leviticus. Why? Well, those offerings in Leviticus were specific to the duties of the priest who served in the tabernacles and later in the temple. This offering from Gideon was to be a meal for this angel of the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He agreed to wait for Gideon to return. Interestingly, Gideon asked the Lord for a sign and asked him to remain until he returned with a meal offering. Gideon must have had his idea of the sign that he desired. He does have that idea, and he will ask for that specific sign. But the Lord will give him a different sign upon his return with the meal. The Lord is going to give Gideon a sign that he didn't ask for. Where the writer then describes the meal cooked by Gideon in verse number 19. "Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them." Gideon prepared and presented this meal for the Lord. Now, what we know when we look through the rest of Scripture, this was an offering of nothing more than a common food menu that was prepared for guests of special honor who would come into any household. His offering was nothing but a meal. But once Gideon returned with the meal, the Lord took over. From a meal cooked by Gideon, we come to a meal consigned by the Lord. Verse 20. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. While Gideon was preparing the meal, the Lord had prepared a rock. The Lord instructed Gideon to put the meal on the rock and pour the broth from the pot upon the meal and the 2 pounds of bread that he brought, of unleavened bread. And Gideon complied with the request of the Lord. Well, we had the meal prepared, we had the meal consigned, and now we have the meal consumed. Gideon surely expected the Lord to eat the meal. But the Lord had a different plan. He was going to give Gideon a sign. Gideon had asked for a sign. The Lord was about to give it to him. But it wasn't the sign that Gideon was going to ask for. Well, we come to the meal consumed in verse number 21. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And the fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. With the flash of the fire from the rock, the meal was consumed. And the Lord disappeared from Gideon's sight, where he was sitting underneath the tree. What a sign. It was a sign to Gideon, but it wasn't the sign that Gideon asked for, but it was still a sign. In fact, it was 2 signs. The sign of the consuming of the meal was good enough for Gideon. We come to the admission of Gideon now in verse number 22. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." The Lord's sign to Gideon was good enough to prove that He was the Lord. Gideon seems to exhibit that he had seen the face of the angel of the Lord and lived when he says, "Alas, O Lord God." Gideon was surprised. What was he surprised of? He was surprised that he was still alive. Remember in Exodus 33:20, where the Lord said to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." Many years later, when the angel of the Lord will speak to Manoah after this time, but still in the book of Judges, with Manoah's wife, they're speaking to him about Samson. The couple had the same concern. Manoah said this. He said, "We shall surely die because we have seen the Lord." But Gideon did not need to fret about dying, for the Lord delivered a promise to Gideon in verse number 23. The Lord said to him, "Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die." Gideon had not said that he was afraid of dying. He was afraid that he had seen the face of the Lord. But the Lord knew that he was afraid that he was going to die. But I will tell you this. Remember, the Lord had disappeared in front of him with the flash of the meal. The Lord may have been out of Gideon's sight, but he was not finished talking with Gideon. In addition, the Lord had delivered to Gideon not one, but 2 miracles to prove that he was the Lord. First, the meal was consumed. Second, Gideon did not die. Both were enacted by the Lord. Hearing the words of the angel of the Lord to Gideon, what did Gideon do? We come to the altar of Gideon in verse number 24. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. The act of naming altars is present in the history of Israel and before Israel. For example, before Israel, we have these examples in Genesis 22, Genesis 31, Genesis 33, Joshua 22, etc. Gideon named these altars, or named this altar under the oak tree in Joshua's land. He named it the Lord is Peace. The Hebrew is translated from Hebrew, it's the word Jehovah Shalom. Shalom is peace. Jehovah is the word Lord. The actual altar built by Gideon was still standing when the writer penned the words in this book for the very first time. For Gideon, the name meant that the tree was the place where the Lord granted peace to the current nation of Israel. But Gideon had to start at home instead of starting out in the nation to bring that peace to happen. What did Gideon do? What did Gideon do? Gideon had to destroy the holy places of the false gods. And where did he have to start that? He had to start that in his own clan, his own thousand, his own my family. And we'll pick up with that story in chapter 6, verse 25, on our next visit together.